On this episode, the CNE was a success, an Argos win, Tiny Tom's Donuts. Plus, Will takes one for charity. Crack those cold ones at the Argos Fancast. You can find us at Argos Fancast or anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast. Just search Argos Fancast or go directly to Spotify. Everybody's got Spotify. Just search Argos Fancast. We'll be right there. I am Clay Chisholm. You can find me at All Kinds of Clay on the various social media machines. And joining us, as always, our resident historian from ArgoFans.com. He is our VP of Football Operations, Will Gertler, MBA.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for listening. You can find me on Twitter at ArgoFans.com. Oh, wait. My site is ArgoFans.com. You can find me on Twitter at ArgoFans.
And Doug is, once again, he's on his rotation of 2 weeks off. So he's missing the Labor Day shows. All right, but you can find him at DougB519 on the various social media machines. You can find the group, the Double Blue Order, on the various social media machines. Just search Double Blue Order. You'll find them there. They're on all of them. And they've also got a merch store where you can get the Ouellette 3416 t-shirt. That's doubleblueorder.ca. Well, Will, we had a good time at the CNE. It was a little bit more of an exciting game than we probably wanted it to be.
I'd say so, yeah.
But the Argos finally came out on top. 39-31. Going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And making Calgary's offense look a lot better than they actually are.
Yes. I mean, we'll discuss it a bit. But,
yeah. Chad Kelly, numbers-wise, 20 for 31, 361 yards, three touchdowns, two picks, and a rushing touchdown in there as well. A.J. Ouellette, 13 carries, 82 yards. Andrew Harris at 5 for 25. DeMonte Coxey, three catches, 102 yards and a touchdown. DeVaris Daniels, 3 for 77 and a touchdown. Cam Phillips at 4 for 63. Curly Gittens Jr., 4 for 55. Andrew Harris, 3 for 31 and a touchdown. A.J. Ouellette, 2 for 18. And Dejon Brissett had 1 for 15. Defensively, they shared the duties all over the place. Lots of people got tackles. Dwayne Hendricks, Jamal Peters, Winton McManus all had 4. Dwayne Hendricks added a sack in there as well. Flo Oromalade had 2 big sacks. What else we got here as far as the stats go? Yeah, it was all over the place. Lots of people had tackles. Lots of people did well on defense. And Javon Leak had another punt return touchdown that makes 4 and an Argos record.
Yeah.
Boris Beattie stepped in for Haggerty with the punting duties. And was pretty good. He had averaged 52.6 and a long of 75 yards. He also had a 67-yarder in there as well. And he was 1 for 1 on field goals. So, Will, what was your highlight of the CNE game?
So what I like about it was they battled, you know, the defense, you know, could have had a better game. But I do like is Chad Kelly being able to answer, you know, Jake Mayer touchdown for touchdown. You know, the Argos got out to a 14-0 lead. And, you know, unfortunately, Calgary was able to tie it up and, you know, eventually take the lead, 21-17. But Chad Kelly answers with a deep touchdown to DeMonte Coxey in the second quarter. He turned to the third quarter, and Chad throws Calgary gets another touchdown, and then, that awesome flea flicker where Tavares Daniels was wide open. So, what I like about this game was, again, we have a quarterback who can answer, and pick up his defense, just like the defense picked Chad Kelly up in the touchdown Atlantic. Chad Kelly picked up the defense in this instance. You still there, Clay?
I'm still here. So the good, the bad, and the ugly, let's get the ugly out of the way. We couldn't stop a deep ball to save our lives.
Yeah.
I know it was a bunch of different things, but we got to start doing better at that, because we've been giving up a lot of deep balls.
Well, I kind of think like this was the first, the Argos secondary has been giving up yardage all year. The difference until the Calgary loss was that the Argos were generating turnovers to mitigate that yardage. The Argos haven't got an interception, I believe, since touchdown Atlantic. So teams are successfully moving down the field now against the secondary and scoring.
That's not a good thing.
No. So, either they're going to have to, tighten things up, reduce that yardage, or they're going to have to, start generating turnovers again. It's sadly going to be a bit, unfortunately, Deshaun Amos is probably out for the season with that nasty ankle injury.
Mm-hmm.
But, we'll have to hope that Maurice Carnell IV or Robert Priester is ready soon to step in.
Yeah. Because, in that we lost, in this game we lost Deshaun Amos. That foot injury was bad. From the stands, you don't always know how bad it is, but you can tell, how serious it's being taken by the amount of medical staff that are gone out there. And you had medical staff from both teams and the EMS out there trying to set his foot, before they carted him off.
Ouch.
So it was, That was pretty bad. And then we lost, and then Haggerty came in to replace him. And he went down with a, what looked like a dislocated shoulder. Not sure exactly what his status is as of yet, or exactly if that's a dislocated shoulder or not. Then they did some juggling, and Jonathan Edouard came in. And then he went down.
Yeah, not ideal. Josh Haggerty struggled.
Yes, he did.
I'm not going to get any more nasty, going to avoid getting a little more specific.
Mm-hmm.
But, truth is, it was not great.
No. And they finally had to drop a Darius Pickett back, and then you had Jordan Williams, Winton McManus, and Jonathan Jones in as your linebackers, and it was, yeah, that we took a few hits. And Jonathan Edouard looked like a shoulder as well. So We'll see what happens when they open practice tomorrow, and see who's on the injured list at that point. What was your ugly, Will?
Calgary that seems to. They always seem to get injured.
Yeah. And honestly, it was just a horrible sequence of events with those. What was your ugly, Will?
We more or less covered it.
Yeah. Okay. The other one I wanted to, the other, I wanted to kind of, I guess I kind of want to expand on that then if you don't have anything there. One of the things that I've noticed this season, and, you know, we've cut him some slack, but he's got to start picking it up and figuring it out, is Qantas Stiggers. As talented as he is, he has a lot of trouble recognizing when they're playing zone where his responsibilities lie. And one of those deep balls, he made the exact wrong read. And I know for a fact it was him, because when he went over to talk to, I think it was Jamal Peters, and one of they explained to him what he did wrong, and he hung his head all the way back to the bench. But yeah, he's got to start showing a little bit more progression in that. He's had half a season. You know, if he's not recognizing that, he needs to get himself in some tape rooms and start figuring out exactly what he's not recognizing.
Well, I mean, the kid is what? How old? Didn't play college ball.
21. Then college ball is, I mean, in the States, a little bit different. You know, you start to recognize a lot of that stuff in high school down there, but they really drill it into you in college. So he didn't have that. And, you know, his only other football experience other than high school is fan-controlled football. That's a whole other ball of wax.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
this was the first game where you really saw the secondary break down.
Mm-hmm.
So, you mean, I'm willing to cut them a little bit of slack here.
Yeah, I just think they need to just hammer it in Stiggers a little bit more. He's got to start, the learning curve has got to be a little bit steeper. You know, that being said, he's a tremendous talent, and, you know, for 80% of the plays out there, he shows you exactly why he's deserving of that spot. It just seems to be the whatever zone covers they're running, he seems to have trouble recognizing his role in it all the time. And who knows, maybe some of those things that I've seen, maybe he's done the right read and somebody else has screwed up. But at least last game, it looked like it was Stiggers on that one. But we won, so everything's good.
Well, he definitely got beat on that the third quarter Begelton touchdown.
Yep. And that's the one I'm talking about.
That about the defense? They kind of, after that, they kind of, in half, they cleaned up their act a little bit, but they do need to start stronger again.
Yeah, they need to start playing the full game again. They haven't been doing that the last couple of games. So, Will, let's what was your bad in this game?
Just trying to think back here to Friday. I mean, we sort of, I think, covered it with the secondary. I really don't think there's a whole lot.
No, the bad. You know, about the only bad I can find in there is what is like must mustard and ketchup ice cream, cheeseburger ice cream, watermelon hamburgers. Come on, like now we're getting ridiculous. Like, you know, the Korean frog's legs, I can understand. I won't eat them, but I can understand that. That's, you know.
I'll eat none of that. Yeah. We'll eat nothing that they serve at that exhibition. Or any of those weird auctions.
No, and sometimes I think that just almost there's too much to choose from.
Yeah.
I went in and the other one they had a nacho place there. And they didn't actually have any Mexican nachos. You know, it was all these fancy, like, you got to have at least one regular nachos.
Yeah.
You know, they Hawaiian, they had Nutella, although that probably would have been good. They had cheeseburger, they had, yeah, it was a whole bunch of things that wasn't, like, none of it were the regular nachos. Those have been good. And they were giving out big servings, too.
It's just all gimmicky with the, let's find or make the most gross thing we can possibly think of.
Pretty much, yeah. Good. And there was a fair bit of good in this game, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Let's start. So I'll let you start this off.
Offensive line continues to play excellent. You know, Chad Kelly Chad Kelly is patient and does sit in and take a hit sometimes, but I don't think he was sacked again.
Nope.
By the Stampeders. No, and you know, they continue to manage to open up holes for AJ.
Yeah, and I mean, AJ had another great 13 carries, and he's amassing almost close to 100 yards. Like, that's a pretty goddamn good average.
Yeah. Like,
13 carries, 82 yards. He's averaging 6.3. It's no wonder that the Argos run on first down more than anybody else.
Yeah, and you also have to consider at the end of the game, they stopped Calgary on third down.
I think it was third and two.
I think it was a bit more than that, but what I'm trying to highlight is there was still two minutes on the clock, a bit more, but they ran AJ up there, they ran AJ for first downs, and he was able to run out the clock.
Yep.
On the that's the offensive line.
Yeah, well, I mean, just look at the last, we had two kneel downs, but the previous four plays, AJ Ouellette run to the right for 8. AJ Ouellette run to the middle for 3. AJ Ouellette run to the middle for 3 again. AJ Ouellette run to the right for 7 and a first down, and then it's when you can do that, why not?
Yeah.
And goddamn, Chad Kelly throws a nice pass.
Oh yeah, that ball to Coxie arced in the air. Like, how much height did that ball get?
Oh, it was. I don't even know how that went pretty damn high, but it came down right where it's supposed to.
Yep.
You know, he had another the flea flicker to Daniels was almost bang on too. And apart from the two interceptions, which he's going to guarantee he's going to own those, because those were definitely his fault. He played a fantastic game.
He did.
Scrambled when he needed to, and yeah. Like, he's, you know, there were times when, you know, you had Ricky Ray that you weren't worried. Like, the other teams didn't seem worried that he was going to throw a deep ball at certain times. Or, he wasn't going to go and attack this, that. But with Chad Kelly, you never know. Like, they have to cover all their bases. Because, you know, he'll scramble to buy time. And, you know, just when you think he's about to run, he'll launch one. Or he'll find a guy 10 yards across his. Like, he made some throws that just looked awkward as hell, but they went exactly where they needed to go in the last couple games.
Like the conversion, it was a good clutch conversion to Brissett on the last drive.
Mm-hmm. A 15-yarder to Brissett for the first down to, because otherwise we'd be kicking back to Calgary.
Yep.
My good, and I'll throw a shout out to Doug for this one. Flo Ormalade, the dude is a monster. He's an absolute monster. He had another two sacks this game, and holy crap, he's like he's commanding double teams now, and he's still beating them.
Yeah.
And I mean, another good, the Tiny Tom's Donuts. They were working that pretty well. The line moved pretty quickly.
Did not have them.
I don't miss a chance to get myself some Tiny Tom's Donuts. Myself two dozen and enjoyed those on the train ride home.
They're messy.
Don't care. They're good. Right. Depends really what you like. I mean, the cinnamon ones, that's the ones I get. They're not too bad. If you get the powdered ones, then you're just
asking.
You're asking for it. Oh. Well, some other things happened this week in the CFL.
Yep.
Give me a second here. Edmonton did one of those weird things that they haven't done. Yeah. They finally broke the losing streak.
Very, very happy for our friends at the Turf District that, you know, they've been very bent, I suppose, over the last 4 years, but they finally get to watch their team win at home.
Yeah, and they beat Ottawa 30-20. And that vaulted them up in the CFL power rankings. I mean, we're still sitting at number one, obviously, but it vaulted them ahead of they were already ahead of Hamilton. Hamilton jumped up to number 8. Ottawa slipped to number 9. And Edmonton vaulted Calgary.
Thought that Hamilton might get a bit more credit for beating BC on the road.
Yeah, that was something I was not expecting at all.
I don't think many people were.
And that scares me that they can, like, I was hoping that it wouldn't be one of those games where they would pull something out, but yeah, the James Butler had a good game. Taylor Powell, he did what he had to do. And Vernon Adams, as much as when the eye test made it look like he was the Vernon Adams that Montreal kicked to the curb, but he still had 326 yards.
But only got whatever many 13 points out of it. That's.
Well, we probably have to mention the passing of Rich Stubler.
Yep. And Bobby
This
Taylor.
and Bobby Taylor.
Yep. Stubler, was defensive coordinator for the Argos in 1990, 2003 to 2007. He was head coach in 2008 and came back as DC in 2016. And that 2000s defense was incredible.
Yeah, they were. Oh. Yeah, so now I guess we can look forward to this week. We've got the traditional Labor Day Classic.
At 3:30.
3:30 game in Hamilton. Lots of Argo fans will be attending this one.
I will be there.
You will be there. I will not be there. I am going to be on the probably on the road back to Georgetown from Ottawa. The boy goes to school this weekend.
Carlton.
Yep. Go Ravens.
Go Gigi's.
So I think the Argos are going to be in tough. It looks like they Hamilton has kind of figured out their offensive line and their running game. So that's gonna it's you know gonna be going up against one of the hotter run games in the CFL and the best run defense in the CFL.
Yeah, I mean, it's Labor Day, so the probably on paper the Argo on paper the Argos should win.
Yeah, well, I mean
Weird
the
things
betting
happen.
line has them. Betting line has them, I think, by like 9.5 or 8.5 or something like that.
Yeah,
But this is
CFL.ca group unanimously picked the Argos to win.
yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
But it is Labor Day.
Labor Day.
It's one of those times where like the three big Labor Day matches, anything can happen at any given time.
Everything goes out the window.
Yeah. I mean, Edmonton can go into Calgary and kick the crap out of them. They haven't done that in a long time. Saskatchewan could pull another, Rocky Butler out of their hat and a rookie quarterback can have a 400-yard game against Winnipeg.
Rocky Butler.
Yep. He had one good game.
None of them were with the Toronto Argonauts.
No. No, he had one good game and then he was more or less back on the bench because the two people in front of him were a little bit better.
Yep.
And then he parlayed that into a contract with Toronto, and that didn't work out so well.
No, I think he was in there as a backup, and he only started because Michael Bishop got hurt.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that got going this week was Ontario University football and U Sports.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, the York Lions now are back to being what they were as the Yeomen.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'll point out that the Ottawa GGs did beat the Waterloo Warriors on Sunday by a score of 29-10. But I gotta discuss, you know, I'll be the first to admit, I don't really follow esports as much as I should. You know, Harry, sort of one of those things that every year I try to say, oh, I'll try to pay more attention to it, but I don't.
Yeah, the football is underway, and it's Western's good again.
York lost 83-0, and you know, in the state, in U.S. college football, you know how like the first few weeks you get like Alabama playing, you know, Middle Tennessee State, A&M.
State. Yeah.
And, you know, they win 60, 70-0 or whatever. You know, Adam Sandler's character in the longest yard kind of explained it away, you know. But I feel like in U.S. college football, because there's so many teams, I guess such results can be buried a bit more.
Yeah.
Like, you sort of maybe expect it. And, but, you know, it's 27 teams in, I don't know. So 27 teams play football in Canada for college. And like, if you're not going to give your program the resources to succeed,
why trot it out there?
Why trotting out? You know, like I feel sorry for the players. You know, like they're not like this isn't this isn't meant to be an indictment on the players. They're just in a shitty situation.
Yeah, they're right. I remember when they had that 49-game losing streak.
Yeah,
you know, that was back in high school, and you know, it was great when they broke it, and then they played slightly better for a little while, and then not anymore.
I mean, it's just unfortunate that both Toronto universities that play football, you know, U of T, I guess they may be.
They're trying.
Their program's better than it was 10, 20 years ago, but even that's still not great.
No, but they've at least got some people there that want, I mean, their coach is really trying hard to recruit more players, and they've got a little bit more backing behind them as far as, you know, encouragement to do stuff and a little bit more money. They're not there yet, but they're trying a lot harder.
But York's a basket case.
Yep. Yeah, well, when you lose 83 to nothing, I mean, even it is Western, and Western is Western is always one of those ones that's, but yeah, gave up 700 yards of offense. It just bad. Sure,
Western took out their starters too after a while.
Don't yeah, always. Yep. So that it is. We'll see what's goes on this week in U Sports. I'm just checking here. I think they play a group of Sunday games.
Makes sense. I think they do it for
because most of the schools have move in day, at least in Ontario, have the move in day on the
Saturday. On
the Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, so once they get Frosh Week or whatever you're supposed to call it now.
Yeah.
Underway.
Yeah. I'll So we'll see. You're taking on the U of your GGs are at U of T. And my son's Ravens are at Laurier. So, you'll see. Laurier is supposed to be decent.
They beat Queens on the weekend, 11 to 10.
Yep. So, we'll see how that goes, and yeah, we'll see how that works. Let's get to your favorite thing, fantasy and the picks.
Decent fantasy this week, actually.
You did decently. We scored 109 points and lost.
Yeah. Chad Kelly's come down in price.
Oh, yes, he has. Makes him worth
what? I mean, I went with Jake Mayer at 12.5. It's a gamble because he's been so up and down. But, you know, kind of hoping that he can take advantage of, you know, continue with strong play and, you know, an end in team that's not the greatest defense.
Yeah, I think I'm going to. Well, you weren't on the show last week, but Doug and I said we pretty much can, you know, pretty much pencil in for most of them. We got the Argos defense, Chad Kelly is a quarterback, AJ Ouellette is a running back, and then one of the Argos receivers. And I'm just going to run back what we had with the Monte Cokes. He seemed pretty good.
Imagine how many points Chad Kelly would have gotten if he hadn't thrown those two picks.
I know. Would have been nice. Not much you can do about it now.
Go, Eddie. And, you know, the players are not here to win us our fantasy.
Nope. So, as far as the wide receiver, I've got Damani Cooks in there. We need a running back, a wide receiver, and a flex. Honestly, I've thought about trying to go the old Ryan from the Go Stamps Go podcast and go all Argos.
Right.
But I'm not sure about that. I'm still not sure about that. I might throw Dedrick Mills in there at the other running back. And then I've got to do some shopping.
Yeah, just watch out because you never know with Carey and Mills. They seem to.
Yeah. Well, the Mills or Standback Or maybe Kevin Brown, because he's been playing decently as well. They're all in between the 9,000 and 10,000 range. And then that'll leave us about 16,000 to play with. So we'll have to go shopping for somebody on a bargain.
Yeah, the thing I don't like about this new, and I didn't realize it, to be honest, until the last week, was you have to pick a player for each, or a player or defense for each position.
Yep.
In the past, you could sort of leave out, you know, a lot of people had the strategy of leaving out a defense or the extra running back. Can't do that anymore.
Nope.
That money dries up fast.
Yeah, it does. It do that. Jeez. Yeah, I'll have to go shopping for that later. All right, let's do the picks here. And we start off with the traditional rivals, BC and Montreal.
Yeah.
The coast to coast game. I think this game was I think they played in BC last year. I think it might have been Ottawa that went out to BC last year. But BC at Montreal. BC coming off an embarrassing loss.
Yep. Montreal coming off an embarrassing loss.
Yeah. I think BC's got a better chance of picking this up than Montreal. So I'm gonna go with BC on this one.
I think with Montreal.
All right.
So far hand panics.
And since Doug did not submit his picks, he gets the Nickel of Destiny. I didn't lose this week. Tails, he's going Montreal.
Okay, good job, Doug.
Sunday, we've got the first of the three traditional Labor Day games, or Labor Day weekend games. We've got Saskatchewan hosting Winnipeg. I'm gonna say Saskatchewan just because it's because they were my team.
I'm just gonna go Winnipeg because Saskatchewan's not my team.
And Doug gets heads. He's going Winnipeg.
Good job, Doug.
All right, Toronto at Hamilton.
I mean, obviously, our heart says Toronto.
Our head says not by as much as our heart says, but yeah. Still says Toronto.
Labor Day.
Yeah. I'll say Toronto by a field goal.
Hopefully it'll be a bit longer than that.
Yeah. Well, I'm, that's where I'm going. But Toronto for a win, definitely. And get win number 9.
And we won't flip the.
Doug's picking Toronto.
Oh yeah.
Edmonton at Calgary. Edmonton's going streaking. We'll go Edmonton for the third win in a row.
Why not? Calgary will find another way to lose.
And Doug is taking Edmonton as well.
Yep.
All right, Doug. You're taking Montreal, Winnipeg, Toronto, and Edmonton.
Okay.
Three road teams. All right. Now, this is about the time where we get into the 3-minute warning. And we do have some nice stuff that you're doing. So this is normally Doug's rope, so we'll get into that right after I play this.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out. Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Are you hearing it?
Now, Will, you're taking one for charity.
Yep.
Can you let everybody know what it is that's happening and why it's such a big deal?
So, I am helping out with, as some of you may know, I volunteered with CFL Fans Fight Cancer for much of its existence. And, you know, given, well, it's not a local Grey Cup this year, but it's as local a Grey Cup as you can have without being local. I said I would help out. And one of the initiatives that was started by someone else on our team, Wally Walker, was on Monday in the Labor Day game in Hamilton. He's a Ticat fan, so he said if someone, you know, donated at least $100 to CFL Fans Fight Cancer, he'll wear an Argo jersey to the game. So to make it clear, you know, he's going to wear the Argo jersey, but he's still going to, you know, wear a Ticats hat and cheer for the Tiger Cats. So that, you know, gave me an idea. You know, I made sure, you know, Wally was okay with it. And yes, I said I'll wear a Ticat jersey to help raise money for, you know, cancer, to fight cancer. Now, this won't be on Monday. This is going to be on the 23rd of September when the Ticats are at BMO Field, which I felt made more sense just because, you know, people will, you know who I am more in Toronto. I'm just going to share a little bit about what CFL Fans Fight Cancer is, just so people have some context as to why I'm doing this. So it's CFL Fans Fight Cancer is a grassroots group of community-minded Canadian Football League fans who are passionate about supporting the fight against cancer. It was established in 2005, and it started as a direct result of Ron Lancaster's cancer diagnosis. So annually, the group raises money through various means. There's, you know, there's been 50-50s in the past, barbecues, online donations. We used to do a stair climb or a 5K walk, you know, on the escarpment. And it's done throughout the CFL season. And, you know, the big capper of the year is a fundraiser held at Grey Cup weekend. So what happens is we rent out, or I don't know what you call it, rent out like a bar or restaurant in whatever city the Grey Cup's being hosted. The group connects with a local cancer charity, and, you know, there's silent auctions, there's door prizes, except, you know, things like that. So, you know, you have a lot of people, you know, generously willing to donate auction items or raffle prize items, and you know, the money raised goes to this charity, whichever charity we're working with. So since the inception back in, you know, 2005, we've raised, you know, well over $100,000. So this year's event is going to be benefiting Wellwood Resource Center of Hamilton. And it's a not-for-profit support program for, you know, individuals living with cancer. And there'll be a Grey Cup event on the Saturday between 1 and 5 at the End Zone Bar and Grill in Hamilton. I encourage everybody to, you know, come out and join us if you can. Or, you know, we'll post a link. If you're not able to attend, we do have a link set up to donate. So, yep, I felt, you know, so just it's, you know, Wally Walker will be, you know, Ticat fan, will be putting on Double Blue on Monday. If you know Tiger Sammy from Twitter, he'll be putting on an Argo jersey on Monday. And I will be returning the favor I'm going to be wearing a Ticat jersey on the 23rd. You know, I will still be cheering for the Argos and everything, which is, you know, no doubt going to confuse some people. But it's for a great cause, and you know, as I said, cancer doesn't discriminate between Ticat fan and Argo fans, or fans of any team for that matter. So, you know, it's something we're trying to get a little bit of thing going for charity.
And it's always a great initiative, and yeah, tons of people are getting in on it. I believe the Two and Out podcast did a virtual live and raised $1,300 the other day. Or no, that's a while ago. I'm just looking on their Twitter, where that's from 2020. So
yeah, we did during the COVID year, we did we tried our best to make deal with the situation. They arranged like a Zoom panel, which I was on, and I don't, you know, even last year, in season, the Piffles podcast crew organized some activities during, you know, I think it was Labor Day weekend. I think they had a dunk tank, which also went to CFL Fans Fight Cancer. So we will post the donation link. And, you know, I will be at the game on the 23rd, you know, with some information about the event. And, don't worry, people. This is just, I'm not turning to the dark side.
No, and I mean, if you're going to have to don a Ticat jersey, that's probably the one acceptable circumstance.
Yeah.
You know, as far as, you know, don't you, and didn't it happen like really fast? Like you put it out there and within like a couple hours, you were already guaranteed to.
Yeah. So, you know, a generous donor put up the funds, but you know, again, it was, you know, we're saying at least, you know, we were at least $100, and you know, the money you're going, you go, you know, you'll get it, you know, it's tax
write off.
And he's going to go to fight cancer.
Yeah, so watch the socials for the link to donate, and we'll definitely retweet that from the Argos Fancast and all of our accounts as well.
Yeah.
Great initiative, and I commend you, man. Hey, you're doing something good. So keep those donations coming in. You know, there's probably if this, I think this should be like a regular in season thing for the, you just, you know, get a couple fans from each team to say, okay, yeah, I will wear another team's jersey. And the only jersey that you will not don is a 21 jersey.
Yeah, I did put that condition on it.
But I think there's enough of the other jerseys around that you don't have to worry about it.
Correct.
Well, with that heartwarming initiative, I think that does it for this edition of the Fancast. Will, where can they find you?
You can find me at Argo Fans on Twitter or at www.argofans.com.
And you can find me at All Kinds of Clay on the various social media machines. Doug, who's not here, you can find him at DougB519 on a bunch of them. And then search up the Double Blue Order on all of your various social medias. And you'll find them, or go to doublebluorder.ca and pick out some great merch, including the Ouellette 3416 I Just Ran Through Your Ass t-shirt. You can find the Argos Fancast at Argos Fancast, or anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast, just search Argos Fancast. That does it for this week. We'll talk to you once we've gotten back and survived Labor Day. Have a good Labor Day weekend, everybody. Cheers.